You've been attending this conference on practical ways of supporting Christians in the Holy Land. What role, what contribution can interfaith dialogue also play in helping to improve the lives of people there, do you think?
Well, interreligious dialogue help in the sense that it contribute to the harmony of society. And, of course, the Christians in the Holy Land are in a situation of precariousness, but on the other hand, they are also they have a mission in the Holy Land, in the sense that they are part of this region of the world. They are apostolic communities because their practice comes through the faith of the apostles. This is their identity. And they are also a gift for the society in the sense that they bring cultural openness, a sense of dignity of the human person and particularly of women, a conception of freedom, and so on. So I think this is a give and take in a way.
It's also very difficult in a practical sense, though, for dialogue to take place. As you know, Jews aren't allowed through into the occupied areas.
But I must tell you that I've been very, very positively surprised by the intervention of Palestinians and Israeli of the young generations. And I have admired their courage, their balance in analyzing the situation. And I think we are on the good track. But what is important is that we must give our brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters of the Holy Land, the tools of survival, that is to say, decent education, decent housing, and a job. This is very important that at the end of this conference, practical steps be foreseen in order to encourage people to remain on the spot.
There are already many organizations, the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, many other groups that are already supporting Christians in the Holy Land. What else would you like to see? What other steps do you think can help?
Well, I think at the level of a diplomatic level, for example, to be more outspoken about the situation of these communities, you see, because sometimes, especially in a situation where you have a country divided by a wall, the separation begets ignorance, and ignorance begets frustration, and frustration begets violence. And so it is very important that, first of all, the walls disappear, and not only the physically speaking, but also psychologically and culturally speaking, in order that people meet and they realize they are sons of the same God.
Do you think you can play a stronger role? The Holy See, in a more broader sense, can play a stronger role, as you say, in speaking out?
Well, it's always possible, but I think the Holy See is outspoken as regard this issue, especially the Middle East. The Pope, this morning I was referring myself to the Pope Benedict XVI's speech at the Tel Aviv airport in May 2009 at the end of his pilgrimage. And I think this is a fundamental speech to understand his position about the Middle East.
What will you be taking back from this conference? As you say, you've been encouraged by the voices of young people. How do you hope to follow up on that?
Well, I think that we must reinforce our engagement in education, our schools, for example. I'm thinking to Bethlehem University. Schools and university and hospitals are the three structures through which we can help, really, people to survive and to look at the future with much more confidence.
How important is it, the ecumenical cooperation, this conference organized by the Anglican and Catholic churches there in the UK?
Well, I think it is a marvelous testimony of this climate, very positive, that we find in England, due, I think, to the personality of the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is a remarkable man, and who I've found also in the Archbishop, in the two last Archbishop of Westminster, prelates who are perfectly aware that in the today's world we must announce Christ in spite of our division with one voice, because we are living in a society which is not built only without God but very sometimes against God. So it is important that the Christians speak with one voice.